Just 2 days after Black Friday, the most advertised shopping day of the year, retailers are again courting shoppers today with promises of big discounts, but online. It's Cyber Monday, dubbed for the jump in website sales that became a tradition in recent years. Last year, Cyber Monday shoppers spent a record $1 billion. This past weekend, Black Friday sales broke a record totaling $52.4 billion. According to the National Retail Federation, 226 million shoppers made purchases on Friday, up from 212 million bargain hunters last year. A whopping 37% of total spending was done online. Nearly 40% of shoppers spent their holiday money on electronics, and over 48% of shoppers went to department stores. Some observers call the increase in spending this year compared to last year a sign of economic recovery. An estimated 25% of shoppers lined up at stores on Thanksgiving, before doors opened on midnight Friday, and shopping madness included the chaos that has become a disturbing standard. USA Today reports that around the country, at least 24 people were reported injured on Black Friday. Walmart continues to be a target for mayhem. In Los Angeles, a Walmart shopper sprayed dozens of shoppers, including children, with pepper spray in an effort to snag an Xbox video game player. A fight broke out among shoppers waiting in line at a Connecticut branch, and in Walnut, California, a Walmart shopper was arrested for stealing. However, no deaths were reported this year, an improvement over previous years. A Walmart employee was trampled to death by stampeding shoppers in 2008. Joining me this morning is Nicole Wu. She is the Director of Domestic Policy at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Welcome to Uprising, Nicole.
Thank you, Sonali.
So, first of all, we hear how much spending has increased in the U.S., often being having its economy being driven by consumer spending. One might look at what happened this past weekend and what is to happen today as a sign of economic recovery. And yet, the L.A. Times is reporting today that cities around California are going to be asking their employees to contribute more to their pensions because of budget cuts and shortfalls. What do Black Friday sales mean to you? Are they a sign of economic strength?
It's an interesting question. In many years, a good Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales figures did lead to higher purchases throughout the holiday season. But we did see a break in that pattern last year where there were very strong Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, but it did not translate into an equally strong holiday season. And it was actually a more disappointing season than we would have expected from the initial sales on the Friday after Thanksgiving.
So does it mean that Black Friday sales are simply a sign of desperation for good bargains?
I do think this year, as we all know, the stores opened up earlier, at midnight, and there was the petition by the Target employees to save Thanksgiving because they wanted to be able to spend some time at home with their families. So I do think that the retailers are trying to, create some energy. Other people might call it hysteria. I personally know that my nieces and nephews who are teenagers found it very exciting that they could, get in their cars, their new drivers, and they could go to the mall at midnight. And I have heard some reports that there were some younger shoppers participating in Black Friday than in past years. The big question is whether or not this translates into stronger sales over the Christmas season, or if this is just moving purchases earlier, a few days earlier, or even a few hours earlier. If the purchases are just being moved up earlier, there's no effect on the economy, and it's not a good sign of the strength and health of our economy. The key indicators are the same. It remains to be things like unemployment rates. If people don't have jobs, it really doesn't matter how early the sales start or how deep the discounts are. And as you mentioned, if people know that their pension payments or their health insurance premiums are going to have to be higher next year, then they're probably not going to spend as much at Christmas time. So, it's not the exciting story of people knocking down the doors at the stores or going online to shop, but the indicators that I really think we should continue to look at are the same ones, which are, you know, how working families across America are doing and what the unemployment rate is.
Well, the jobs report for this month, as it's ending, will be out within a few days of the end of November, and that may tell the real story. But at least through October, what do the numbers that should be the more accurate indicators, what do they tell about the economy?
Well, unemployment is still around 9%, which is unbelievably
and that's just the official high. That's just the official number.
That's the official number. You're right. And, you know, the way that we count it does not count several a lot of people who are discouraged or who don't have enough hours of work. But you know, even if you just look at the official number, it's way higher than what should be acceptable, and that's the real number that we need to look at. A few things that are coming up this month in Washington are things like whether or not the payroll tax cut will be extended, whether or not extended unemployment insurance benefits will be extended into next year, and whether or not there will be, you know, extra spending on things like infrastructure or aid for the states so that they don't have to lay off more, you know, teachers and firefighters and other public sector workers. And these are all spending bills and other policies that need to be considered by Congress in the next couple of weeks, because the payroll tax cut and the UI extension will be expiring at the end of the year. And I think, you know, especially people who don't know if their unemployment insurance will be there next year, you know, that kind of uncertainty is definitely going to affect whether or not they spend a lot of money during the holiday season. The same thing with the payroll tax cut. If people, you know that they're going to be paying a little bit more in payroll taxes next year, this past year it was about $900 for the average family in the payroll tax cut. If they hear that they're going to be paying a little bit more next year, they might cut back on spending at Christmas time.
Now, what impact did the Congressional Super Committee's failure to come up with cuts in federal spending, what impact did that have on the economy and ordinary people? I mean, certainly there are to be automatic cuts triggered in over a year, including mass cuts to Medicare. Democrats are saying that they're going to stave those off. Republicans are scrambling to stave off cuts to defense. And it seems as though that whole political exercise may end up being fairly useless. Is what is going on in Washington having any real meaningful impact on the economy and on people's economic lives?
Well, because the Super Committee was charged with coming up with $1.2 trillion in deficit reduction between now and 2021, and the fact that they failed to come up with a deal is leading to these automatic cuts that you're talking about. They're going to automatically be triggered in 2013. In the amount of $1.2 trillion. So the big macroeconomists, the sort of Moody's.com or the Goldman Sachs forecasters, to them, you know, $1.2 trillion is $1.2 trillion. So the way that we get to that target for the big kind of Wall Street modelers, it doesn't matter. The economy, you know, the debt profile of the United States will remain the same. But from a progressive point of view or working class families' points of view, you know, how the cuts are made is very important. And the Super Committee actually missed, there was a lot of fear that the Super Committee would take, you know, a really large axe to Social Security and Medicare, and just do some really harmful things. So I think most progressives were very relieved when the Super Committee did not come to a deal. But the Super Committee also could have put in tax increases. The Super Committee could have put in the Buffett rule and put in a tax on wealthy people. They could have put in the Wall Street tax to try to get Wall Street to pay their fair share.
Sure, even a 0.1% financial transaction tax of the kind that is being discussed in Europe, but not even considered
right.
Here.
That's tens of billions of dollars a year right there being left on the table by the Super Committee. And also, as a kind of a context for the Super Committee, it came out of the debt ceiling discussions in the summertime. It was created by a bill that allowed us to raise the debt limit. And in that bill, in August, they already put in $900 billion in spending cuts. So, you know, we're adding $1.2 trillion in spending cuts on top of it, with not $1 in new taxes, not $1 being taken in taxes from, you know, the 1% in Wall Street.
Now, going back to the issue of employment as an indicator, holiday hiring season is around the corner if it hasn't already begun, and often that can briefly boost the economy. But what do you make of that, even though mainstream economists generally make a fairly big deal out of it? It's temporary. The jobs are temporary. The jobs don't have much security or even the pay, you know, not even very good pay.
Right. Most economists, you know, factor in the knowledge that these are temporary jobs. So when they see that little bump up, it's actually seasonally adjusted so that they recognize that most of these jobs will be going away come January. There don't seem to be any indicators that these will be turned into permanent jobs. So, at this point, you know, the government really needs to do, and policymakers really need to do all they can to create jobs. Unfortunately, spending cuts doesn't get you there at all. Spending cuts actually kill jobs. And so we're facing some really large spending cuts coming up in the next, you know, decade at the same time that we have high unemployment.
Well, finally, Nicole, you mentioned taxes and increasing revenues, which the Democrats say they support in name, at least. And among the perhaps more interesting of Obama's tax suggestions was a 15-cent Christmas tree tax, as conservatives were calling it. It didn't go through, but it was supposed to be a boon to agriculture to use to promote the image and marketing of Christmas trees. What do you make of this sort of tactic?
I actually hadn't heard about that before. You know, a small tax on something like that, if it's put to a good use, I suppose can be a positive development. But it probably wouldn't be a ton of money, and it wouldn't have a tremendous effect. I hadn't heard of that.
Right. And of course,
I have no idea how much revenue that sort of a tax would raise.
Right. And of course, it doesn't necessarily actually require the rich to pay more.
Nicole, anybody who buys a Christmas tree.
I want to thank you very much for joining us today, Nicole Wu.
Oh, thank you, Sonali.
Nicole Wu is the Director of Domestic Policy at the Center for Economic and Policy Research. And for Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day, Nelson Mandela once said, like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is man-made and it can be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings. That's Nelson Mandela. That's Sonali, Subversive Thought for the Day.